The Book Nook on WISO is presented by the Greene County Public Library with additional support from the Clark County Public Library, Washington Centerville Public Library, Wright Memorial Library, Dayton Metro Library, and Microsun Lamps.
Hello, welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and I'd like to welcome back to the program today, Shuley Kaywood. She joins us on the telephone in Johnson City, Tennessee. Hello, Shuley.
Hi, I'm so happy to be back.
Well, Shuley, this is kind of an exciting day. As we are recording this interview, you have a new book which is being officially published at this very moment, right? The presses are running. You can see those books coming out of the machines, right?
It is really exciting, and yes, absolutely.
The title of your book is 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17. How did you get the idea for this?
The book actually came about, it was one of the few writing pieces that just came onto the page very easily for me. I wrote it much, much earlier this year, the first initial draft, and initially it was 36 things I wish I could have told myself when I was 16 or something like that. And I didn't know what it was that I was writing. I just wrote it, and it didn't fit neatly into a genre. It wasn't poetry. It wasn't an essay. It wasn't memoir. It was just this thing, a list of sorts of things that I wish I could have told myself when I was younger. And as the months went by, I kept tinkering with it and adding things and subtracting things, still not knowing exactly where it fit. I'd never seen anything like this, particularly in the bookshelves, and I just kept working on it, and eventually it became 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17.
And there are 52 weeks in the year, so if a reader was to receive this book in their stocking in December, then they could open it on New Year's Day and read entry number one, and then the next week read entry number two. That's kind of the plan, right?
That is a perfect plan, although I'm hoping that if someone reads it on January 1st, they won't be able to contain themselves and wait to read the whole thing, and that they'll just read the whole thing in one sitting. And it is a short mini book, so it is able to be read in one sitting.
Can you pick out an entry to share with our listeners right now to give them a sense of the kind of stuff that you have in your book?
Absolutely. I'll read number 30. Never underestimate yourself or your ability to do something. You will watch others with far less skill and far less talent, but with far more confidence, do the thing you thought you could not do, and you will wonder why you did not at least try. At least try.
When you were 17, you didn't know that?
I did not know that. I'm still learning that, Vic.
Okay.
It's there are many things in this book that are still a work in progress, but at least know that I don't know them very well.
Who do you think your audience would be for this?
A lot of people assume that this is a book meant for teenagers, and I'm happy if a 17 or 18-year-old gets it. I always imagined that this book would be for someone who is in their 20s, all the way up into their 60s, 70s. I wanted it to be something that people would read and say, they get it. They can relate to it. And so that's who I envisioned for it, is probably somebody who's a young person all the way up into... My mother just read it and loved it and said she got something out of it.
Shuley Kaywood joins us. Her book is 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17, and it just came out today, just in time for the holidays. And did you do that on purpose?
I did. The backstory of this book and how it came to be is, well, the first story I already told you, which is how I wrote it, and I wasn't thinking about anything about how it would be published when I wrote it. I was just writing it because I wanted to write it and felt inspired to write it and kept working on it. Another thing that happened along the way is that my father, Hap Kaywood, who is a Yellow Springs resident, he has owned a small press for many years, and he has decided at this point in his life to pass it on, and he wanted to pass it on, and so actually he passed it on to me and to Sam Eckenrode, who's another Yellow Springs Village member. And so he did that much earlier this year. He passed it on to the two of us to be you know, co-owners of it. And I knew that if I was going to be an editor of his press, which is called Cimarron Books, that I wanted to put out a product that I was happy with and that I was proud of. But I didn't know anything about being an editor of a small press. I've never done this before. And I decided I didn't want to learn on somebody else's book. I wanted to learn with something that was mine so that if I made a bunch of mistakes, it was my own work, not another author's, that I was messing up. And so I didn't know what that book would end up being. And even as I was writing this and as months were passing where I was working on this particular book, I didn't know if this would be the book that I would publish with Cimarron Books. What happened was I kept working on it and kept thinking, what if? And the thing that held me back the most was fear that people wouldn't understand it. It's a quirky little book. It's, as I said earlier, nothing that I've seen on the bookshelves. It doesn't fit neatly into, it's not a short story collection, it's not fiction, it's not memoir, it's not poetry, it just is this thing, a book of inspired advice. And eventually I came across an article in the Writer's Chronicle, and the Writer's Chronicle talks about, it's an article by George Saunders, who talks about how he came to own his own voice. And he talks about how he kept trying to emulate other authors. He tried to emulate Hemingway and Kerouac. And he talks about it as going up the Hemingway mountain and going up the Kerouac mountain. And he wrote his first big novel, 700 pages long, and was really happy about it. And then he had his wife read it, and she thought it was not so good. And so he got pretty depressed about that. And then he decided the next day at work, after she'd read it and sort of said, this isn't really going to fly, he's writing, he's listening to a conference call, and he's starting to take notes, and he starts making what he calls little Seussian poems and little illustrations to go along with it, and they're quirky and they're his own. And he after work, he brings them home and throws them on the kitchen table and doesn't think anything about it, and she picks them up and she starts laughing, which is good. She thinks they're really funny. And that's the day that he sort of finds his voice. And in the article, he talks about how he said all this time he'd been trying to go up Kerouac Mountain and Hemingway Mountain. And so he says, and then, you know, these are these huge mountains that he's hoping to aspire to. And he realizes, I'm never going to make it. I have my own voice, and I need to accept it. And he talks about how he, the quote is, well, he looks at his little mountain, his little hill, and he calls it a hill, and he says somebody had stuck a sign in there written in crude letters, Saunders Mountain, and he thought, well, okay, it's a hill, but at least it's my hill. And in reading this, I realized I already had my own voice, but it really gave me the courage, and that's what he had. He had the courage then to go on and write the stories where it was his own unique voice, and I realized that this piece was my own little weird thing, and then I didn't need to be so scared anymore of putting it out there in the world. And that's the day that I decided to make it happen.
Well, George Saunders certainly does have his own distinctive voice, and so do you, Shuley K. Wood. And in this book, which you don't want to call a memoir, 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17, you give us a lot of advice. And frankly, I see it as a memoir in epigram form, but that's just my own opinion. Now, you can disagree with me, but I do see this as being sort of like a memoir.
And I don't mind that characterization. What I don't want people to think, if they read my first book, that it is similar to that, because it is a very different book. I mean, it is a list of 52 things. There's one thing on each page, and all of them are very short. Things that I wish I could have told myself. And so it's very different from my memoir, which was, you know, stories and many pages. It's quite a different book than that book.
And Shuley's memoir, which we featured on this program last year, is The Going and Goodbye. And if you go into our Book Nook archive of podcasts, you can listen to that interview. There's also another interview that Shuley did earlier this year reciting some of her poetry, because Shuley is also a poet, and our listeners out there are saying, okay, give us another example of some of the 52 things. Give us another one.
Sure. I'll give you number 21. There will be people who would tell you, you can't, you won't ever, you aren't. These people will make you stumble until you realize they're really speaking to themselves.
Hmm. You didn't know that when you were 17?
I definitely did not.
Okay.
Did you?
I don't remember that far back.
I remember, and I did not know that. That took me many, many, many years to learn.
You're listening to 91.3 WYSO, giving voice to our community, our nation, and our world since 1958. I've been joined in the Book Nook today by Shuli Kaywood. She's on the telephone in Johnson City, Tennessee. We're talking about her new book, which just came out today. As we are recording this, it is called 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17. You mentioned a moment ago that you own the press. That's taking self-publishing up a level, isn't it?
It is a lot different than I imagined it would be. It's been a lot harder, and I've certainly made my fair share of mistakes just in doing this. But I do feel like once I determined that this was the book that I was going to put out, I realized I really wanted to make sure that I wanted to have a product that I was really proud of, and I wanted to do it right. And that's when I'd been trying all along to do the cover myself and the formatting myself. That all went out the window. I immediately hired a designer at that point, Peter Barnfather, to do the cover and to do all the formatting for me. And he took my cover idea and made it 100 times better. I mean, my idea looks so pitiful compared to what he did. And I'm really proud of the actual product. I wanted to be proud of it and have my father be proud of it. And I hope that he is.
It's a very lovely cover, and if listeners want to see what it looks like, they can go to Shuli's blog website /book publishing location and check it out. Her name is Shuli, S-H-U-L-Y, Kaywood, C-A-W-O-O-D. That's shulikaywood.com, and if they click on that link, you'll see the cover right there, won't you?
It is there, and I think he did a great job. I really do. I can take no credit with it. He did it all.
What are your hopes for this book? Are you hoping that it'll be a stocking stuffer?
I'm really – one of the reasons that I got it out so quickly was to try to make it for the holiday season, because I feel like it's a perfect little gift book. I think of it as a little inspirational gift book. That's how I describe it to people. And so I think it's – and I priced it, made sure it was priced under $10 so that it was very affordable. And so that was my hope in why I got it out right now as opposed to sometime next year.
As I read the book, I didn't know that Cimarron Books was your own imprint that you had gotten from your dad. Now, is that the press that put out his book? What was it called? The Runner?
The Miler.
The Miler.
Put out a book by Liz Kelly, for those Yellow Springs residents who knew her, called A Spiritual Journey.
Are you planning on publishing other books, books that you didn't write on this imprint?
That is the hope. I'm not sure where I'm going to go with the press yet, but the hope is that I would learn enough with my own book that I could take on somebody else's. I'm not there yet, but that is the hope.
So you'll be willing to publish my book, my tell-all book about all the interesting authors that I've interviewed?
Tomorrow. Let's do it.
Do I have to put you in it?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's great. You're very open-minded. You're listening to the Book Nook on WYSO. We've been joined by Shuli Kaywood. And as I read the book, I thought, gosh, this is really something that deserves a wide audience. And I didn't realize that this publisher, which is listed as being in Tennessee, was connected to your family. I didn't realize that at the time, but I thought to myself, now, if this book was to attract attention from one of the big publishers like Random House or Penguin, number one, would Shuli be willing to sell the rights to them? Just because I see bestseller written all over this thing if it had wide distribution. Would you be willing to do that?
I would definitely be willing to do that.
Okay. So you wouldn't have to convince your agent that it would be a good idea?
I think my agent would agree 100% with me on this.
Who is your agent?
Me.
Okay.
I also am my publicist,
okay.
So it's fabulous. We all work together very well and very seamlessly.
The team gets along well.
We get along great.
That's good. Okay. Tell us about how you became a writer. I know we've discussed this in previous interviews, but we have some listeners out there who probably missed those. How did you become a writer?
I've been a writer since I was little, and my father's a writer. He's a creative writer. He was also the Dayton Daily News editorial page editor for many years. So I grew up around writing from him. And when we were little, for my sister and for me, he would take these pieces of paper and he would staple together and make books, quote, in quotes, books. And we would write our own little books on these blank pieces of paper that were stapled together. And that was essentially how I got started. I became a diary keeper. My parents gave me a diary for my birthday when I was about 8 years old. And I have been keeping a diary. I kept a diary until about 10 years ago. And I wrote in it quite often. And that's where a lot of my writing, especially my really as a young kid, writing in that. And I started to write short stories in junior high, and I thought I was really, really great at writing short stories. Turns out I was not at the time. But I thought I was, and I had a best friend who thought I was, so that was enough. I had an audience of one who was quite supportive. And then in high school, I started writing poetry and have been writing poetry ever since. And it's only in recent years, in the last about 10 years, that I started writing memoir. And then in the last, let's see, about 6-7 years is when I picked up fiction again. I wrote a little bit in college, but wasn't very good at it. And it's only I got an MFA a few years back in 2016. I graduated, and my MFA is in creative nonfiction and memoir, as well as fiction. And that's where I really started picking up short stories again. And now I have a whole collection that I've written, and it's ready to go. I'm trying to find a publisher right now.
You mentioned that you kept a diary for years, and then 10 years ago you stopped. Why?
That is a great question. You know, I've thought about it many times, and I cannot figure it out. When I was writing in a journal all these years, it wasn't anything I felt I had to do. It was something I always wanted to do. It was a place to sort out my feelings and just sort out what I was thinking about different situations and to keep record of them. And it was not a decision I ever made. It was that since the last day I did it was the last day I felt compelled to do it. Mm. And since I don't think of it as something I have to do, I just never wrote in the journal again. And I've never, since that day, which was about 10 years ago, I have never felt the need to write in a journal. And I don't know why. I have not been able to figure it out. I've thought about it many, many times and wondered why I have no interest in journal writing anymore, but I don't.
I'm going to take a wild guess that when you wrote your memoir, The Going and Goodbye, that journal was very useful.
It's been extremely useful. There were a lot of things that memoir is based on your own personal memory, which can be flawed. And there would be times when I would, be writing about something and I would go back to it and I would have forgotten details that were wonderful to have. I would sometimes forget the order of things. So my journal kept me in check for getting the order of things right and getting details right. It was wonderful to have all those journals over all those years. I was able to quote from it, just a lot of things. I would write down what people said to me, and that just helped make scenes better. Whenever I do write memoir, I'm one of the probably not very many memoir writers, but I am one of those who, if I have it in quotes, it means that's exactly how I remember it, or it's how I wrote it down exactly as it was. I don't make up dialogue when I'm writing memoir.
That's very useful, very helpful. My guest is Shuley Caywood, and her new book, 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17, just came out. And we've only heard two things that you wish you could have told yourself. Can we hear a third thing that you wish?
Sure. I will pick a very short one instead. People tell you, this is number 7, people tell you their truths at the beginning, but you must be willing to believe them.
I think that's very true for a lot of women, but I think for men, not so much.
In terms of men telling their truths at the beginning?
I think sometimes at the beginning, some men tell you things that aren't true, and the one thing that you learn the truth about is that they are liars.
That's interesting. I have found it to be the opposite. I have found that men will tell me their truths at the beginning, and then later they seem to, I think like all of us, I think they're probably like women too. People start to shape things differently.
Hmm.
So So I have not found that to be true myself.
Well, you've got to take in the dynamic, though. These are men talking to you. Now, men talking to other men, I think that's different.
Oh, yes, that would be true. Yes, I have no knowledge of this.
Okay. So I'm just saying, you encounter a man you don't know, from my viewpoint, and they tell you things, and sometimes you believe that they're the truth, and sometimes you don't. But in those initial contexts, I think there's a little bit of exaggeration that goes on when men are talking to men.
Interesting.
That's just my own personal belief.
I think it's really interesting.
Is your book then targeted more towards women?
That's a good question. I think that probably a lot of women could relate to it better because of the things that I talk about. I think I probably have that more in mind. I think my father has read it, my husband's read it, other people have read it and said they've gotten things out of it. But I definitely think there are things that are a woman's perspective in here.
My guest is Shuley Caywood. Her book, 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17, just came out. And I looked it up on Amazon, and it made me wonder because I see it's available as an ebook on Amazon as well as a paperback. And I've always been curious about how authors act when they have a new book that's just come out. Today's the day it just came out. Are you going to be looking at Amazon? Is there a way for you to look and see how the book is doing? Is there a way for you to tell how it's selling? Do they give you access to that information? How's that work?
They do give you access to that information. And if you had asked me a couple of weeks ago if I was going to be looking at it a lot, I probably would have said, yes, I'll look at it every day. What has ended up happening is their reports seem to be slow in actually culling the data, mm-hmm. because I've had several people tell me they've already bought the book. Last week, you were able to pre-order the paperback or the Kindle version. Mm-hmm. And I've had several people tell me that they've already ordered it about a week ago. And when I look at the reports, that's not showing up. So, and I remember with my memoir asking my publisher about reports and things, and them telling me with my memoir that things take a while for Ingram, which is the big, you know, book, mm-hmm. book place and Amazon, that those things are slower to tell you when there are actual sales.
So there's a lag.
There's a lag. That's the better word. There's a lag.
I see. Well, that makes me curious because years ago, I used to interview Deepak Chopra frequently. And the last time I interviewed him, his people called me and they told me that it was a live interview and he was going to be at a bookstore in Dayton that night. And at the end of the hour, at the end of the interview, they were going to check his Amazon numbers. And if they didn't see a spike in his numbers, they probably wouldn't book him on my program again. And I thought, wow, can they really tell that quickly? And hearing what you're saying, this was a long time ago, I can't imagine that they could tell. Maybe someone like Deepak Chopra, who sells tons of books, maybe they could tell. But I can't imagine that they would see a spike right that quickly after the interview.
I don't think I would guess no, unless they have some, you know, they have Jeff Bezos' number because it's Deepak and not me.
Well, that was the last time I interviewed him, but I don't think it has anything to do with his Amazon numbers. He just stopped coming to Dayton.
Wow.
Yeah. But fortunately, you still come to Yellow Springs, and we've had you on the show 3 times in 18 months, and you have this other book that you mentioned that you're working on, a collection of short stories. Can you tell us about that? You're looking for a publisher, right?
I am looking for a publisher right now. I just recently finished it. The last story that I was working on, I started in Yellow Springs. It's sort of set in Yellow Springs, although I never identify it. And I worked on it for many months and kept coming back to Yellow Springs and would work on it down at the Emporium coffee shop and finally finished it this summer when I was in Yellow Springs for one last visit in August. And I am thrilled that I am that was the last short story of the collection. So it's now complete. And I have started to try to find a publisher. So I've just started that process of sending it out. It's a collection of stories that I've titled Loved by All the Wrong People, and it's about couples who are in crisis of some sort. And so each of them have a crisis, and they have to deal with it. And I am very fascinated by couples, and so I like to put them in a problematic situation and see how they're going to make their way out of it. And I never know how, I don't know what's going to happen or what they're going to do, and that is part of the fun for me for writing.
That is the common link between the stories?
Yes.
All of them?
All of them.
Wow. And how do you find a publisher? How does that work?
So I do not have an agent at this point. So I am writing university presses directly and small presses directly to try to find the right fit. And I've just started that process.
And you send them a sample, one story? What do you do?
Usually you send them a query letter, which outlines what the book is about, a book description, books, other books that it might compare to. I haven't gotten that far in finding those yet for my collection. But I have a good description, the word count, and then you usually send them the first either chapter. In my case, I would send them the first story. And then a publisher, if they're interested, they'll ask for more. Sometimes they'll ask you for half the manuscript. Sometimes they ask for the whole thing. And that's how it happens.
Surely after this book, which just came out, 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17, becomes a bestseller, they'll be fighting to publish your other book, right?
I mean, that's the hope, right?
Okay. Well, I'm curious to read your short story, so hopefully you'll find a publisher soon.
I hope so. That's going to be I've been really focused on this book for the last few months, and now that it's launched, I'm going to start working on improving and finishing up my query letter so I can hopefully find a publisher for this short story collection. I also have a poetry manuscript ready to go, but I'm okay waiting on that for a while.
Did you mention earlier that you'd stopped writing fiction and then you went back to it?
I wrote fiction as a sixth grader, and then I, after junior high, moved away from it, just focused on poetry for many, many, many years. In college, I took a fiction writing course, which I did not so great in. And because of that experience, not feeling like I was good at it, I didn't pick it up again until I was already thinking about an MFA. Mm. And then I studied it during the course of my MFA and really got to work on my fiction writing. And that was just a few years back.
Well, Shuli, we're running out of time. I'm hoping maybe you have enough time to read one more of your 52 things for our listeners. Can you pick out another one for us?
Sure. I'll read you the first one, which is, I think that I've given you very serious ones, but the book starts out being a little bit more lighthearted, so it's not all serious. Most of it is serious, but it starts out, number one is, bangs should never be styled with a curling iron.
Well,
and if you were around in the 80s, there were a lot of women who styled their bangs with a curling iron, and it looked pretty hideous. And I wish I hadn't, but I have many pictures of me with the bangs styled with the curling iron.
I always use a curling iron on my bangs.
I don't blame you.
Thank you so much, Shuli. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
My guest has been Shuli Kaywood. Her new book, which just came out, is 52 Things I Wish I Could Have Told Myself When I Was 17. You heard about it on the Book Nook. For the Book Nook, I'm Vic McCunis.